All right, if you will, let's open to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I asked you Sunday morning, do you have any gripes? I looked at Paul as a prisoner in Christ. What a privilege he considered it to be a prisoner in Christ. So I ask you this evening, anybody mad at you? You got any enemies in this world? There's somebody that's troubling you? This may sound odd to most people, but this time of year, it can be a very trying time for believers. As we gather with family during this time of Christmas, the topic of Christmas comes up, doesn't it? And we may try to correct some things that other people say that offends us. They say some harsh things. And we may have strife over the year ending. I've heard people say already, it's been a hard year. God didn't want these things to happen. I want to correct that. I have an instinct to slam my fist down and get a little loud talk from my belly button. I've heard people say before, like, about hurricanes and fires and all these things. I said, well, the Lord didn't want that to happen. How is that corrected? The God of heaven and earth controls all things according to His eternal purpose, according to His wisdom. He sends it. He performs it. If that happens during the holidays, that may make some waves in the family gene pool, huh? That could cause a little strife. So how is it a believer should deal with those that seem to be enemies of them? How do we deal with our enemies? And those that are outright enemies of the gospel. What should we do to them? Take up arms. Oh, let's read our text here in Romans 11, verse 28. Romans 11, 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet hath now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may also attain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Now in this 11th chapter of Romans, Paul's given a warning, an admonition to the Gentile believers in Rome. And he's warning them against pride of grace, against being puffed up. He tells us about those natural branches being broke off and then grafted in. Now they had all the promises of God right in front of them and pictured in type, and they didn't believe. But just because you believe, the Lord made you to believe. Don't be puffed up. Don't look down on them. Don't be high-minded. Now, these Gentile brothers and sisters there in Rome, they had some gripes against the Jews in that day. These brethren that had Christ revealed in them, they were given some discernment. And they saw that those benefits that national Israel had, that physical nation, they had the presence of the Lord with them. And they had all these types and ceremonies and pictures that pointed to Christ. They had this plainly in front of them, and they refused it. They turned from God. So that nose got a little high, didn't it? Paul's warned them against that. And now, just like Paul had many enemies against him in his day, and just as Paul did when he was Saul, before the Lord did a work in him, those Pharisees, they made fun of those Gentiles in Rome. They harassed them, and they killed those that trusted in Christ. They were enemies. Enemies against them. You and I, we do not have a Sanhedrin in our day. We don't have a Jewish Supreme Court that's going against us, coming after us. We don't have to worry about being stoned going to the grocery store because we believe Christ. But we do have enemies. There's unregenerated men and women that cannot stand the sovereign free grace of God in Christ. They oppose us, they argue with us, and they'd kill us if they could get away with it. Make that man stop talking. Hush him up. I don't want to hear it. Who are these people that we have enemies of? Is it a big nasty council? Some group somewhere looking to get us? Not yet. It could be down the road. There are countries now that forbid you to believe anything other than what they believe. If you don't believe what they believe, you run the risk of being beheaded. That ain't a... I don't want to have a dog in that fight. Lord, have to be abundant in grace and mercy to us to let us weather that trial. But right now in our lives, and if that day comes when rulers and powers, they openly persecute the Church of Christ, nothing will be different. The enemies ain't going to change because they look different. Our enemies are those in our circle of friends. Our enemies are those that we work with, those that we care about, those in our own families, and maybe even those in our own households. It says in verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. What gospel? What are they an enemy of the gospel of? The gospel of Christ and Him crucified. An enemy of who Christ is, who man truly is in our natural birth, why Christ had to come to this earth and be made of a woman under the law, why He had to bear our sin in Himself, how He died for our sins and He rose again, and how this work of salvation is utterly and totally completed in His person and His work. Good news. You just got a new heart in you. Well, that's fabulous. That's good news. Billions of people, enemies, can't stand it. It says, because as concerning the gospel, they are enemies. Paul and Barnabas were preaching at Antioch. And they preached to those at that synagogue. And a lot of people come around to hear. And they said, can you come back next week and preach to us again? And they said, we'd be glad to. And they met back. And there was a great multitude there. And those religious folks. This wasn't drunken heathens and harlots and lowlifes. People with nice clothes on. Clean shaven. Religious, self-righteous Pharisees, the enemies of the gospel of God's grace and of His people, they were angry. It says in Acts 13, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, resentment, bitterness, jealousy. Those people come to hear about Christ. They're going to hear how a poor, wretched sinner can stand before a holy God, and the only way they can. Envy. And they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. I've experienced that. I've preached the truth of the Scriptures concerning the holiness that God requires to be in His presence, concerning man and our lack of our ability and our lack of a desire to know God. Of Christ's righteousness, His perfect work for those that were put in Him before time began. How that particular people are chosen of God, they're loved of Him before time began, in Christ, made holy as Christ is made holy. And they will never be taken out of His hand. That salvation is of the Lord in its beginning, in its continuance, and its culmination. From start to finish, and anywhere in between, salvation is of the Lord. And those He keeps for eternity. He will not lose one. And I had a man stand up right after I sat down and contradicting everything I said. And he spoke what I consider and what the Bible says is blasphemies. He made eye contact with me while I did it. What a sad shape. Why? Why was he an enemy? By default, yes, he was an enemy with me, but because of the gospel's sake. I just happened to be there. The gospel ain't changed. I just happened to be the man that was there. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. We're going to try to stay just in Romans tonight. Romans 8. What stirs up this bitterness and anger in a natural man? It is the truth of what man is by nature and who God is and what He truly requires. What He truly requires. It ain't us. He requires his son. He requires Christ. Look here in Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh, those without God and ourselves, cannot please God. We must be born again. Something refurbished in this old man of flesh. We must be born again. We must have a circumcision of the heart that only God can perform. And we must be made one with Christ, or we cannot please God. He must do it. The unregenerated man, in our natural state, they read that and they say, well, I'm not hostile against God. I'm not at war with God. I'm not constantly in war with Him. The Word of God says we are. But our sin nature, born of Adam, it's not subject to the law of God. It's not subject to the Word of God. It doesn't bow to the Word of God. Neither indeed can be, unless there's a new heart given. We read that and say, that's not me. Well, you're telling God that He's lying. That's what He says. Does that make you mad? Outside of Christ, you are war against God. If you disagree with the Word of God, do you disagree with it, or do you bow and say, you're right, Lord. I'm vile. That's all I am. You just, knees get weak and your shoulders drop. Left to myself, I cannot do nothing to be saved, and I will not be saved apart from you. Now back in our text, Romans 11. Everyone born of Adam's corrupt seed is totally at odds with the Lord of hosts. Why does the Lord let all the evil against Him and all the evil against His people take place in this world? Why does the Lord allow us to have enemies against us? When Adam fell in the garden, why didn't God just end mankind right there? Wages of sin is death. Adam sinned against God. Why didn't God just crush him right then? Stomp out mankind, stomp out the human race. For the people in Christ that He loved, that's why He did. For their sakes. Look here in verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. God's perfect and wise providence. The turning of the Jews from the Lord resulted in you and I having these scriptures right here. They had the Old Testament scriptures. We didn't. Us Gentile dogs didn't have nothing. We just got worshiping cats and pyramids and everything else. But we have the scriptures. We have preachers of the gospel sent to us after God's own heart to comfort us, to tell us the truth, instruct us. And because that physical nation was not allowed or was allowed to stay in their unbelief, the good news of Christ was sent to me and you. Believer, do you see that the fall of that political nation was for our sakes? That was for our benefit. Do you rejoice in that? The Lord said, I've given nations for you. He didn't say which ones. For my sake, that was one of them. Right now in our lives this week, me and you, us, how can those that are without God in the world, that are our enemies, how can they be for our sakes? How can that be for our good? Every trial, every loved one that curses you, every person that's indifferent and you wish they weren't, it's for your sakes. It's for your good and God's glory. It's to be instructive. It's to be a corrective. And as the Spirit breaks our heart and points us to Christ, it stirs up our pure minds and makes us thankful for our mercies given in Christ that the Lord bestowed on us. How could that be so positive? How could having enemies be such a good thing? Look here in verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. The majority of men and women that have walked this earth, they walk the earth now and however many be to come, the majority of them, they are enemies of the gospel, and they will be until they meet God's throne of judgment. They'll die at enmity, at war against God. That breaks my heart sometimes. I'm overwhelmed sometimes when I think of just the untold number of souls, billions of people dying that never knew God, or worse thought they did, denying Christ the whole way. That's hurtful. But for those that are His elect, those put in Christ in eternity, those beloved of God, they have been His children, whatever state they're in. If they're enemies, if they're still in their sins, if they're still dead, or if the Lord's given them life, or if they're already with Him, they have been His children. They are His children now, and they will forever be His children. It says, but as touching the election, they are beloved. Some enemies we have in this world, in our homes, wherever they may be, they're beloved of God. That could be one of the Lord's elect. But it just said they hated the gospel. How could somebody hate the gospel and be His? Look here at verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God. What's not believing God? That's hating God. Being at war with Him. Being enmity towards Him. Yet have now obtained mercy. Was I ever warring against God? I was. Was I ever indifferent to the Lord? Take Him or leave Him. I'll worry about that when I'm 30. I'll wait till I got life slowed down some. I got some living to do. I'll worry about it then. Or if I've been mad at His providence, did God show me mercy when I was in that state? Now, was that just something that happened 20 years ago? That happened back in 1995 when the Lord taught me His sovereignty and I got frostbite? That happened this morning. Was I indifferent to the Lord today? Was I warring against His providence, His wisdom today? Do I still war? Am I still indifferent? My old man is. This flesh that I was born with, it is. That new man's not. He's thankful every day. That's why there's a war. That enmity, that war goes on inside of us. The harshest enemy I have in this world, you're looking at him. I see him in the morning every time I shave. That's the worst enemy I got. But some read that in Romans 8 that we looked at, and it says the carnal mind is at enmity against God. They read it that way. That's true in a sense. A person born of Adam is at war with God. I can tell you something about war. War does not just take place on the battlefield. It takes place while you're sleeping. You're still in it whenever you're eating dinner. And you're still in it whenever you're playing a card game. You're still on the same side the whole time, no matter what you're doing. That's why it says there in Romans 8, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Indifference to the Word of God is enmity. Well, that's nice. I'm not going to take a side. I'll straddle the. I'm just going to remain neutral. Neutral is hostility. We know that. And you walk down the street and you see somebody, some horrible crime taking place, or a building just starting to catch fire full of babies, and you don't run in there and grab one. That's picking a side, isn't it? That's being hostile, isn't it? We know these things in our daily life. We can see that. That is where each of Christ's sheep were when He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Every one of us was at outright war with Him 24/7. Through indifference or active, it didn't make a difference. We were at war with Him. Does that take the steam out of our sails concerning our enemies? Oh, I'm going to get them. What can I do? I got to think up something. I'm going to go home. I'm going to study. I'm going to get me some verses, and as soon as they open their mouth, I'm going to get them. How's I any different? They could be proper enemies for eternity, or they could be just like I was, hating God, hating His people, until the Spirit opened my eyes and made me see Christ. They could be beloved of God, and He just hasn't revealed Himself in them yet. says in verse 28, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If they were chosen in Him, God will not turn from them. No matter what state they are currently. What are these gifts and calling of God? Turn back to Romans 8 again. We're going to begin in 28 and go through the end of the chapter. So stay there in Romans for a bit. We know that our enemies are for our sakes, whether they are God's elect or whether they are not. Any enemy we have is for our sakes. And if it's for our sakes, it's for our good. Then it's a gift of God to us. I pray I'm given the grace to see that. If I have a trial, if I have somebody that would stab me in the parking lot if they could get away with it, and they just wear on me all day, all week, and just won't let up, that's a gift of God to me. In His grace, wisdom, and mercy, He let that happen for my good, His glory. That's a gift. Look here in verse 28, Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things, what about enemies? All things. What about traffic and fires and everything else? All things. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things in providence of God in our lives are a gift from Him. Enemies are a gift for our good, and it's on His purpose. We also know that the gifts and callings of God include everything that He's blessed us with in Christ before time was. Look there in verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who is God for? Those that He loved in His Son, those that He justified in His Son, and those that He has called or He will call. That's who He's for. Who can be against us? What enemy can be not for our sakes? No one. No one can be. Those that were enmity against God, and He sends the Spirit to work in their hearts, they receive the gift and calling of Christ Himself. For us and those brethren we have that's yet to be called. Look here at verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? I've asked before, I said, Lord, why is this person that's against me allowed to keep on? Why haven't You removed this problem yet, Lord? This shouldn't be happening. That's what I'm saying. I know better, and it shouldn't be happening. I shouldn't have to deal with this, Lord. He spared not His own Son for me, but delivered Him up for His elect. How shall He not freely give us all things for our sakes, for our good? He didn't spare His own Son for me. Whatever He's given me is right, and it's good, and it's on His purpose. He will provide exceedingly abundant above and beyond. She said, we don't even know what to pray for. The Lord will provide more than we ask for. He does it for our good. Who's going to charge the elect of God? Whether they had already been notified by the Holy Spirit, God's saving grace, or if they've yet to been born anew in the heart. That's our enemies that are in Christ and He hasn't revealed Himself to yet. Look here in verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The person that cusses you, the one that's neutral, the one that's indifferent, just as each child of God once was before our new birth. They just might be one of His, that He's gifted with eternal salvation. He's going to call them to eternal life. Now, do I want to be their enemy? Do I want to be that person's enemy? With my puffed upness, with my pride. What about those that taught me the gospel? There's a man that spent hundreds of hours with me, my Sunday school teacher. He was patient to me. And there's a lot of times I treated him like an enemy. And he was merciful to me. And he was persistent and consistent. Would I have wanted him to be like, get rid of him? He ain't worth it. Don't talk to him. If our enemies are His, they receive the gifts and calling of God. Our text says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God will not turn from those Christ died for, those that have been given that gift, that eternal hope of our Savior. Look here in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, will those enemies, will those tough trials separate us from Christ? Or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or will war, or starvation separate us from Christ? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. That pretty well covers it all. All saying nothing. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from it. When the Holy Spirit calls one of God's elect out of that enmity, out of that darkness that we're in by our nature, and He reveals the gifts that are given in Christ our Redeemer, it is without repentance. The Lord does not turn back on it. Those that He's eternally saved are eternally saved. Almighty God will not give life to one of His children, one that Christ died for, that He loved in Him, and then take it away from him. We cannot sin away grace. We can't be gracious to somebody. Give them a new heart. Circumcise their hearts. Promise to stay with them for eternity. And then we do something to make it go away. But if God has truly been merciful to us, truly shown us His grace, we have no desire to offend Him. We don't want to. There's no law that has to be put underneath there. That's love. We love Him. He gives us that gift of a contrite heart, doesn't He? Of meekness, kindness to others and to Him. No, we bow to Him humbly. And those gifts, that's without repentance. It doesn't go away. It may flutter. That old man's going to flare up, and he's been around longer. He's had more meals. He's stronger. But the gifts of God are without repentance. Now back in our text there, verse 30. Romans 11:30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. We've retained our mercy because that political nation had unbelief. They refused to believe God. And He sent His word to us, Gentiles. Even so have these also now not believed. They don't believe just like we didn't believe. That through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. What mercy do I have to show to somebody? What mercy do I have to give to somebody? Only the mercy that the Heavenly Father shown me. That's it. Peter asked, how many times have I got to forgive my brother? He was a Jew. They needed hard lines, else they need rules. 7 times? 70 times 7. How merciful has God been to us? Innumerable, unmeasurable, abundant mercy. And that's how the Lord's going to use to spread His word. I don't have a formula for you. I don't have a 5-point system to systematic things that you do this step and then do this step and then you say that. I just tell you what mercy God showed me. And through my mercy, what He's given to me, He may be merciful to them. Verse 32. For God hath concluded them all. And in the translation there, you could change that to us all. God has concluded us all in unbelief. All of His elect, that's where He found us, in unbelief. That He might have mercy upon all. How the Lord treated me is how I pray I'm able to treat those that are my enemies. And those that are the enemies of the gospel. That outright say, I hate that and I can't stand to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I hope I can be meek. That's against my natural born nature. Take my belt off, go out and whoop them good. I hope the Lord give me meekness. Merciful spirit, as He's been kind and merciful to me. He said, come, let us reason together. Been patient with us. So try to remember, when someone's in unbelief and is an enemy of yours or an enemy of the gospel, don't be puffed up. Don't look down on them. As what's so popular in our culture now, don't cancel them. Don't delete them out of your life. Don't get rid of them. They just might be one of God's elect. One of His beloved from before time in Christ. One that He's going to show the same mercy He's shown you. Might be one of them. And rejoice the whole time. Whether they are or they ain't, we don't know. Rejoice that His gifts and His callings in Christ are without repentance. What He's given, the mercy He's shown you will not diminish. It ain't going to run out. It ain't going to run dry. And it's not going to get old. It'll be new every day. So with a thankful heart, be merciful to your enemies. I pray it's a blessing to you. Let's pray together.